I'm going to read verse 45 through 46, Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to read verse 45 through 46. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 45, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it." Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for what you have done for us at Calvary. We thank you for your love and your sacrifice. And I pray at this time you'd use that to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you challenge each and every one of us as believers to love you more. And I also pray at this time, if there's someone who's watching or who is in our midst, they've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, I pray that this would be the night they trust in you. I pray in each and every aspect of this service, and Lord, through the preaching of the word, that you be glorified. I pray you give me the words and wisdom to preach, "Thus saith the Lord." And I pray that it would be a blessing to the hearts of those who hear. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, we're going to be looking at in just a moment about the merchant man who was seeking goodly pearls. And when he had found one of great price, he went and sold all they had and bought it. I'm just going to give us a little bit of background in Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, Christ is speaking in parables. He begins by speaking of the sowing of the seed in Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. Great multitudes, the Bible says, were there to hear Jesus and what he had to say. And the disciples asked him the following question. The Bible says in Matthew 13, 10 and following the following. Turn there if you would. Or just probably on the same page, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." The Lord is telling us here that the reason why he spoke in parables was so those who already had received the truth could receive more truth, but those who did not receive the truth would not understand what he had to say to them. When we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, more than eternal life, we also received blessings, the ability to understand more. We have life, and life more abundantly. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus is telling the disciples, you know, the truths of the words of God are for those who have received the truth of the Word of God. Those who have received Christ will receive more truth, but those who have not received Christ, they're not going to understand these things. It's not given to them, it's given to you. The Lord said these truths he spoke in parables were only for those who could see. Those who believed in Jesus could understand what Jesus was speaking about. He then goes on to speak about what the sowing of the seed means in this passage of Scripture at the beginning of Matthew, and how those things include the devil interfering with the receiving of the seed being sown. That seed being sown was sown by God himself. And then those who became unfruitful and those who were very fruitful. And he explains to his disciples what those things meant later on in the passages of Scripture. And it's important to note and for us to understand Jesus said when it comes to parables, these things are for those who have received the truth so that they can understand more truth. But it's also important for us to understand when Jesus spoke a parable and he explained what that parable meant, that we should just understand it meant what he said it meant. We've been going through on Wednesdays how to interpret scripture. When Jesus says this is what the parable means, this is what the parable means. It's very that simple. And in scripture, a lot of times, God gives us the answer. We don't have to look for another answer except for the answer that God has already given. Jesus was speaking parables for a particular purpose. And the main purpose was so those who could see some more. God has given us the Word of God. And if you believe in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, within the Word of God, you now can see more. You can see more. You can understand more. You have more to apply to our life. Not only could they see more, but they could see things that were never seen before until Jesus himself revealed them in the parables. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 34 and following, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I'll open my mouth in parables. Are other things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." The purpose of a parable is to reveal truth. And the truth is for those who know the truth. And these truths have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And Jesus is revealing these truths unto us. Since the foundation of the world, the prophets of the Bible have been looking into these things. They desire to know these things. And these things have been given unto us. His people, those who have received the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. This evening, however, we're going to be looking at the parable of the pearl of great price. If you're taking notes, I've titled the message this evening, "The Pearl of Great Price." I want us to understand that Jesus is the merchant man who came to this world to purchase the pearl of great price. The pearl of great price are the redeemed. They're the bought. They're the ones that have received the free gift of salvation. It is the church. They're the pearl of great price. And I wanted to see what it cost. What did it cost the merchant man? What did the purchasing of the redeemed cost the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're taking notes, the first point I'd like to make this evening, number one, is who is the merchant man? Who is the merchant man? The Bible says again, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The merchant man, I believe, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is doing the seeking. He was looking to redeem people. And the redeemed, or the pearl of great price, are those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. The merchant man who was seeking the precious pearl was Jesus. When Christ came to this world, he came to seek after something precious. He had a purpose. The Bible says the following in Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 and following. Turn there if you would. The book of Luke chapter 19. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Luke 19. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says the following. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, this, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to purchase something. He came with a purpose to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to eat with the sinners. He came to mingle with sinners with a purpose. The purpose was to bring them to a place where they would be part of that precious pearl. And that is why he gave of his life, so that they could be bought. He came searching for you and me. He came searching for the people of the world. The Bible says in Matthew 9:35 and following, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." The same Jesus who came to seek is still seeking. And what he does is he uses laborers. He uses you and I to go around and gather people to bring them to Jesus, to bring him at the bring them to the foot of the cross. And the merchant man is still looking for those goodly pearls so that they can be part of the pearl of great price. Christ, like the merchant man, gave up all that he had to purchase the pearl of great price. In this passage, he's seeking for goodly pearls, which brings me to my next point. What is the precious pearl? What is the precious pearl? The precious pearl are those who have been bought. It is the redeemed. It is the church. When God looks at you, he sees something that is valuable. I don't want you to misunderstand the pearl of great price. What makes us valuable is because God has bought us. What determines our value is not because we're special, but because God gave himself for us. God determined our value. Think about it. God first loved us. We didn't first love God, but God first loved us, and he gave himself for us so that we could have eternal life. Your value was determined by God himself. John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The fact that God the Father sent his Son to the world so that whosoever believed in him would receive everlasting life shows how valuable you are. God wants everyone to be part of that pearl of great price. When God sent his Son to this world, he sent him for everyone. God's not willing any should perish, but God wants everyone to come to repentance. And the reason why I say that is not everyone who can be the pearl of great price, not everyone will receive the good news that Jesus saves. There is going to come a day, and we read about it later on, and I'll read it in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 47. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." I don't want you to misunderstand. I want you to understand this simple truth. The pearl of great price are the redeemed. But any of people on this earth, anyone who rejects the price that was paid, anyone who does not receive the free gift of salvation, the Bible says there's going to come a time of judgment when they'll be cast into hell, and the hell will be cast into the lake of fire. We want everyone to be part of that pearl of great price, but not everyone is going to be that. Not everyone will receive the good news. A pearl is only worth, as I explained already, is only worth what the merchant man values it, and what makes it valuable was Christ. But when we think about this pearl of great price, the Bible says the following in Ephesians chapter 5 concerning this pearl. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, the following. Turn there if you would. Ephesians chapter 5 And we'll read verse number 22, Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says the following: Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Christ the merchant man gave all they had to purchase the redeemed, to purchase the church. Which brings me to my next point, and I'll be done this evening: what the price the merchant man paid for the pearl. The price that the merchant man paid for the pearl. When we think in this passage of Scripture, I'll read it again. The Bible says in verse 46, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. When we think about the price that was paid for this pearl, the Bible says he went and sold all he had and bought it. It cost God everything in order to save your soul. He sold all that he had in order to purchase your redemption. In order to purchase the pearl, he gave up everything. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and following, the following: For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Christ became poor so that you could become rich. Christ left heaven's glory. He was born of a virgin, and he came to this earth. He gave up heaven's glory. He came to this earth to redeem sinful man. That was the price that he paid. Not only leaving heaven's glory, he gave of his life. He shed his blood. He died while he was here on this earth so that you could have everlasting life. The price that God paid for you was his sacrifice at Calvary. The Bible says in Romans 5, 6 and following, For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The price for your eternal life was Christ dying for us. The merchant man, Jesus, gave all that he had. He can give no more than all that he can give. And that gift was for each and every one of us. We're going to be in heaven, not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. We're going to stand in God's presence, not because we're special, but because of the fact that he is special. He's worthy of praise. He is worthy of honor. He has given us all and more. He has given us everything. However, only those who receive the free gift of salvation settle the transaction that was made for them. I believe with no doubt in my heart that God died for the sins of the whole world. I don't believe in limited atonement. I believe that any man and every man can be saved. That is God's will. That is God's desire. However, not everyone, there's going to be a lot of people who will not be in heaven, not because God did not make a way for them, but they chose not to believe and receive that free gift. Thank God for the price they paid for redemption. You are now a part of the pearl because you were bought with a great price. You can be the precious pearl this evening that he was seeking for if you trust in the Lord Jesus. If you never received the free gift of salvation, I encourage you this evening, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. May this be the night you come to know Jesus. If you have trust in him, take time to thank God for what he has done in your life. What makes you so valuable in the sight of God is the value that he placed upon you. He showed you the value you are worth by giving his life so that you could be redeemed, so that you could be bought with a price. It is unmerited grace. We did not deserve it. Which brings me to a story. If you're not stunned by the thought of grace, then you aren't grasping what grace offers you or what it costs Jesus. In 1987, 18-month-old baby Jessica fell 22 feet in a Texas well. Rescuers labored nonstop to save her. After 55 grueling hours, her life hanging in the balance, they finally reached her and extracted her from the well. The nation breathed a sigh of relief and cheered the heroes. This was not the story. Baby Jessica, her 18-month-old body, climbed with her 18-month-old body up the side of the 22-foot well, inch by inch, digging her little toes and working her way up until she got out. She's the hero, that baby Jessica. Baby Jessica was helpless. She could do nothing to deliver herself. Her fate was in the hand of rescuers. Left to herself, Jessica had no chance. Likewise, when it comes to our salvation, we're utterly powerless. We can't do it in our own strength. That's grace. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. It was the right time because it was God's timing, and it was prepared before the foundation of the world. We get no applause for our redemption. God alone deserves a standing ovation. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and following, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus counted the cost of the purchase of his pearl. And that cost was the cross. That was the price for the pearl for the redeemed for his church. Jesus looked at the cost and it brought him joy. It brought him joy. So much joy that he endured the cross. He endured the cross. He purchased the pearl great price by giving all that he had to purchase the pearl of great price. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that you gave all so that we could have all. And I pray this evening, Lord, help us to reflect upon that. Lord,